This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And joining us via technology from the great state of Florida, Jeff Reynolds from restoration-news.com. Hi, Jeff. How are you? How's things in Florida?
It's warm and buggy here. It's very moist outside, and there are all kinds of biting insects that want to kill you.
You just made thousands of people cringe on the word moist.
I didn't do that on purpose.
Oh no. So let me ask you this before we jump into the show, because I'm, like I've been saying too, I'm traveling back east in about a week and a half to like tick central Cape Cod, Massachusetts. How bad are the ticks in Florida? I know you have like palmetto bugs the size of Pomeranians, but what about the ticks?
Pomeranian bugs. The ticks have been extra heavy this year. We get them, but this year has been a really bad year.
Yeah.
The tick season seems to have ended. It was earlier on this year, a couple of months ago. I did have to kill a cottonmouth snake at the bottom of my stairs yesterday, so that was a lot of fun.
Are those poisonous snakes?
Yes. Yeah.
And you came out okay. You look fine. You look good.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I was wearing my big muck boots because I was working on the farm, so I just sort of had to take care of business. I won't go into detail.
That's so toxically masculine. I love
it. Yeah. Sorry. Right, sorry, Salem. I know that doesn't comport with your value system.
You should have called the authorities and let someone handle it for you.
What are you talking about? This is Oregon. You should have just let it live there peacefully.
Well, pretty soon it'll
what
be illegal
it doing
to stomp
me,
it.
Anyway,
yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, first of all, we got, okay. Happy birthday, Hunter.
Yeah.
You're getting old.
Happy birthday, Hunter.
I'm getting there. At least I'm not as old as the Elsinore Theater, I guess I can put it that way.
Happy 100th birthday to the Elsinore, one of my favorite venues on earth, having traveled a lot. I love the Elsinore. Happy birthday to the Elsinore. And we have to say happy birthday to the I don't know how you feel about him. I love him. I think he's great. Marco Rubio. Mm-hmm. I think he's 55 today. Mm-hmm. So he's a little older than you.
A little older than me. You know, he's got a few years on me. But I think that's just the right age for, you know, potential presidential run here in the near future.
Oh, I think it's high time we had a Gen X president, don't you?
Yes, I agree. Absolutely, I agree. Gosh, okay. Yeah. We got some other, we had a Mariners ticket giveaway. We have picked our winners. The contest is closed. So I want to congratulate Molly, who won the Saturday tickets, and Jennifer, who won the Sunday ticket, so the gals are going to the game this weekend.
Well, my understanding is it's also Jennifer's birthday present, so this win for Jennifer, you know, happy birthday as well.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay,
we need more candles for this cake.
That's right.
I know. You know, well, Gemini, man, I'm a Gemini too. My birthday's coming up. It's coming up closely, but you know, you gotta love, and I don't know, June Geminis, May Geminis, I'm, you know. June Geminis rock.
Well, I'll go for the May Geminis then. Let's go that way.
You can represent.
That's right.
All right. So like I said, Jeff is with us. He's with us twice a month, at least, maybe more, because we love having him. We always have great conversations.
Often, yes.
And I love, you know, you'll probably see if you're out there on social media, we've been doing a little thing with a little bit of video and clips and like that. And that's been really great. And I like seeing that. We're trying to, because we're out on all the streaming sites as well. And then so we do a lot of cross-pollinating with Jeff and restoration-news.com, which is very cool. I like it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Our production team really enjoys digging in and creating those short videos. I will say I'm sitting in my office today instead of walking around outside. Usually I pace a lot while I'm on the phone with you guys. But if I record the video, my wife really hates watching me pace around the outside on the deck, you know, so she made me sit in the office today.
Well, good for her. She's right.
It also protects you from the bugs, and it doesn't make us quite as jealous when on those days when we are very overcast and you have sunny blue skies. So,
yeah, it's currently 87 degrees, according to my weather station.
Oh, okay. Well, it's going to be hot here, too, actually. Mm. I don't know if it's going to be moist, but it's going to be hot. Okay, I'm going to beat that to death. Let's stop. I'm sure there are people going, stop it. Stop it. Okay, real quick, too, because I know, like I said, I always say, bookmark restoration-news.com. And we've got a couple of things that are from that site that we're going to chat about today. But you did mention to me the last time you were on that you guys do put out a newspaper or newsletter, and you've got a new, I'm throwing up air quotes, magazine, because it's not a, like a glossy hardcover.
No, it is.
It is.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, yeah. We have a print version of it as well. It goes out in the mail. Yes. Love it. It's, in fact, let me, I'll show you. I know this is great radio, but I'm going to show you the actual magazine right here. So, but it's Independence Magazine, episode or issue. I keep calling it an episode. Issue 2 comes out in, sometime in the next couple of weeks. It will be mailed out and it'll be available online here pretty soon as well. And the theme of this is, the third issue we're working on now is the faith of our fathers. Our, second issue that's coming out in the next week is going to be, defending the homeland. And so it's, I have a centerpiece in this upcoming magazine on the global dominoes that, Donald Trump is pushing over regarding Venezuela and Iran the control of the global oil system and you know what that means for America going forward and American reestablishing American global dominance. So a lot of good stuff in the magazine.
I like it. I'm going to be subscribing myself. And I, you know what, I maybe I'm old school, but I do like kind of curling up in my comfy chair with a magazine and a cup of coffee. I kind of miss that because I'm always one of those. I do not like ebooks. I don't like e-reading. I don't feel like I retain as much when it's, you know, in a digital format where versus I just ordered a whole bunch of books, including Gad Sad's new book. Suicidal Empathy, which I'm excited, but I like my hard copy. So good for you guys for putting out a hard copy magazine. I think that's great. So they, what do? They just go to restoration-news.com and you can subscribe over there.
Yeah, so it's right at the top of the page is the menu, and it's there's Get Independence Magazine up there. There's also Get the Newsletter. So there are two different newsletters that we put out. It's an email newsletter. One of them is the most important headlines from around the internet. It's called First Right, and that's a daily rundown of the news that doesn't make it to the evening news or the New York Times or you know OPB or whatever. And then we also have a weekly newsletter. It's a recap of all of the biggest investigations we've done at Restoration News. So you can sign up for both of those at restoration-news.com.
Okay. I was out there poking around today doing show prep. And one of the things I did notice, and I think we may have touched on it on an earlier visit that we've had with you, but you have a site out there that links up to it. It's called illegalaliencrimes.com. And just reading the abstract on that, you uncovered 51,942 crimes committed by illegal aliens between 2021 and 2024. The latest reporting reveals the violent offenders and predators being removed from American communities since President Trump returned to office in 2025. That's another one I'd want to bookmark because, like you said, if you're looking at the New York Times or OPB, you're not hearing about that.
Yeah, that's right. And so I know the White House is. Did I freeze up?
No.
Yeah.
Keep going.
That's all right.
We hear you.
Okay.
We can hear you.
All right, good. So the White House puts out a list of some of the worst offenders, illegal aliens that have committed violent, horrific crimes in the United States. But we're also using that and other public source databases, and we're updating illegal alien crimes now. So so that's going on. But in the meantime, we are also working on exposing all of the things that the mainstream media doesn't want you to know. If you go to our social media sites, on Instagram or X or Facebook, search Restoration News. We do a daily post at 4:30 p.m. Illegal Alien Monster of the Day. So we've got it scheduled out for the rest of the year of all these horrible crimes that are being committed by illegal aliens that should never be allowed to be committed. They shouldn't be here. They shouldn't be committing crimes here.
Absolutely. All 100% preventable. And like you said, you don't hear about it. So we're going to go ahead and take our first break. And then, Jeff, there's an article that I want to dig into, and it's talking about what's happening in America's schools. And this is another as far as just a great kind of service you guys are providing. So we're going to take our first break again. We're talking with Jeff Reynolds. He's senior editor at Restoration News. And you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Color Tile of Salem.
All righty. So I am over here at restoration-news.com. Headline on this is District Watch Exposing the Radical Takeover of America's Schools. I don't think people realize that what's going on in your schools isn't just happening in big blue cities. It isn't just happening in blue states. It's happening in small red towns in red states. So what this is, it's a new project exposing destructive policies, leftist school board activism, and the fight to protect parental rights. I read through this and I'm like, I have a tip. I have some tips. So tell us about what this is, because I got excited about this.
Yeah, this is a project we've been working on and preparing for quite some time. Our senior investigative researcher, Vicki Manning, used to be on the Virginia Beach School Board, and she's written a book about her experiences called Behind the Wall. And she's an expert on all this stuff, and she's now looking to move to Florida after the after the Democrats took over in Virginia this last election cycle. But she does an excellent job of documenting all of this wokeness in the schools. And if you think that the wokeness has ended because the Trump administration took over or your red state has outlawed it, then you're not paying attention, because a lot of this stuff is pushed by the teachers' unions, along with, you know, radical groups like the Democratic Socialists of America and other protest groups. So the NGO universe of the Tide Foundation and Neville Roy Singham, and all these same groups of people, the Ford Foundation, the Hewlett Foundation, all these foundations, so they're all pushing the same stuff, and they're trying to undermine American values by pushing wokeism in schools. They're also undermining actual education. There's just a thing. There was just a thing today that the UC Berkeley math department actually put out an open letter calling on the California University Regents to reinstate the SAT, because the STEM students that they're getting in the university system in California are so unprepared to take math classes that they have to do remedial work just to get up to college level, and it makes it impossible for them to earn a degree in the STEM fields.
That's even the case in Oregon, where a lot of students coming into the state university system need to take remedial reading and remedial entry level, whatever was below 101s, I guess, in the double digits.
We're hitting graduation season right now, and all of these schools nationwide are going to be boasting a 95% to 98% graduation rate. That's and right. then when you dig into it and realize that, you know, somewhere between 20% and 35% of these students can actually read and do math, you have to go, why are we graduating that high a percentage when that low a percentage is even prepared to enter the workforce?
And Oregon's damning. Oregon's schools have been a joke for a long time. I still remember when Doonesbury, the cartoon, was making fun of Portland public schools in the 80s and 90s. And, it's only gotten worse since then. So Oregon routinely ranks in the bottom of states as far as grade level proficiency in reading and math.
And then I think I saw a number stat, because they just keep, their answer seems to be, and this is the Democrat, progressive, blah, 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 you know, my usual, the toxic cocktail mix of the different names, to just keep throwing money at it. And isn't Oregon, isn't like 17,900 per student now?
Yeah.
And the numbers are just abysmal. And then, of course, you see all these videos of these kids dancing and doing all this stuff. And it's like, but how many of you can read? What are you celebrating? Right.
Yeah, what? Well, and that's the thing is, what are they actually learning? They're learning about, you know, the wokest of the woke, gender ideology and DEI aspects and things that have nothing to do with learning how to think. That's what you should be teaching in schools, is learn to read, learn to do math, learn how to think, how to form your own opinions, not how to regurgitate some sort of ideology.
Slogans. Yeah. And so, go ahead, Hunter.
Well, we were talking about it earlier this week and talking about the way people are voting and the way people are going about things. It's like, this is education 101. This should be a very basic concept that money just doesn't form out of thin air. It, you know, somebody's got to pay for everything, because anything they're giving away for free has to be produced at some level. And, you know, the failure of the education system in teaching young people that, you know, these policies may be a challenge simply because one plus one doesn't add up to two when you look at these policies.
Yeah, the math doesn't math, right?
It doesn't math. And so we have talked long and hard about Salem Kaiser Public Schools. We have talked about Portland Public Schools. And but then if you shift your direction over, and a lot of people, like I said at the start of the segment, well, thinking, well, I'm in a red state, or it's a little school district and it's in Eastern Oregon, or it's in, you know, Idaho or Nevada. And what we're finding is no. And a lot of it starts with the state school board associations. And so you've got school boards that are trained under these school board associations that are indoctrinated in there. So you can have the best school board candidate that shares your values and campaigned on, you know, conservative this and you know, non-woke. The second they get their claws on them from the school board association level, a lot of them get flipped. And so, and then when you're like recruiting for a new superintendent, the recruits are coming through the school board association. So you see what happens. And then you know how that works. Progressives do this. They'll love bomb you for a couple of years while they kind of sneak these things in. And it's literally the boiling frog. And so you've got small little rural school districts that have very progressive superintendents and are looking at curriculum like the Ron Clark Academy, which if you dig into that, you're like, oh, no. We all remember the movie with Matthew Perry. And it all sounds good until you dig into it. It's got like a house system. It's very odd. And that's happening in rural, in conservative, in red areas.
Yeah, just reading from the article here about District Watch on restoration-news.com, just one example: in Wisconsin, the Eau Claire Area School District, which serves around 10,000 students, pushes narratives of white privilege and offers gender support plans. ECASD emphasizes hiring based on race, saying they will seek out and increase hiring of a diverse staff, including active recruitment of underrepresented groups and more equitable hiring practices, so that the diversity in our district staff and leadership is reflective of the diversity of the students we serve. Several board members have publicly stated that they support keeping student gender identity transitions secret from parents.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're pushing the most radical stuff. And this is Eau Claire, Wisconsin. That's just one example. You know,
10,000 students. Yeah.
Right. And it's happening everywhere. And again, it's the same organizations and the same revolutionary groups that are pushing this stuff to undermine American values, to really put it simply.
Well, we always know that the standard MO for let's just use the word communist. Get the kids. You get them while they're young, and you get them while they're what did Rush call them? Little brains full of mush, and they're malleable, and you can like you said, you're not teaching them how to think, you're teaching them what to think, and you're completely marinating them in this toxic stew. And so that's why I really love this, and I love this effort that you're doing. And there is, it's District Watch, and there's a link within the article, and there's a place to submit tips. Now well, maybe being inundated would be a good problem, but so I submit a tip.
Please do.
Is someone going to be, is this a partnership between the person who's sending the tip? How's this going to work? Because I think this is absolutely invaluable.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously we're going to go through our due diligence and vet all of the tips that we get and research them, make sure they're legit and all that stuff. And like I said, Vicky Manning is an excellent researcher and a dogged investigator. So she's going to validate all of these tips and then put them up on the website. And so a lot of these folks, the whole point is a lot of these folks think that they're doing, you know, something important, and that mm-hmm. they're not going to get in trouble for it. So mm-hmm. The more we can expose, the more we can actually show that this is actually happening and it's not some sort of conspiracy theory or, you know, right wing scare tactic that they like to say. So the more evidence that we can put out there in public, the more we're going to be able to validate our argument that we're not teaching our children. We're not teaching them the things that we want them to be taught.
Yeah, I think what a valuable tool for parents, again, and for folks that live in an area where they may think, well, we're safe. I mean, that's not happening here.
Yeah, that could never happen here.
Right?
The simplest way to look at it is we are in the state of Oregon, where no matter what public school you walk into across this state, you go into the boys' bathroom and you will find a tampon machine in there.
Well, and a lot of that is state law, or not. It's not even law. It's not even statute. It's just rules written by the Oregon School Board or Oregon Department of Education.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you need to be ever vigilant about this stuff, because honestly, the people putting this curriculum in and the curricula there, they are. They're not going to stop. No. So again, you know, sunlight is the best disinfectant on all this stuff. So again, this is really great. This is at restoration-news.com. And we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Half the show is gone, so come on back on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, we are finishing up. Well, actually, we're in the middle. We're the thick of our conversation with Jeff Reynolds, senior editor with Restoration News at restoration-news.com. Bookmark it. Do it. So I think the last time we had you on, primary, we were done with that, or we were just getting ready to do it. I don't remember, Hunter. Refresh my memory.
I think we were right before the primary, I think is okay. Where
yeah,
we were.
It was just before, because Christine hadn't won, so yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. We should actually, that's real quick. You had been following that. Were you surprised that she came out on top?
Not really. No,
me neither.
what I was surprised at was that Dudley wasn't more competitive.
I know.
Yeah, just a complete lack of energy in that campaign. Really disappointing. I thought Danielle did well, but mm-hmm. just didn't have any money. Ed Deal did surprisingly well, but, didn't have the machine behind him. So that's the end of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll be, I'm seeing a lot of messages of unity. I think there was some kind of a unity gathering this morning. Everybody get behind her. I think a lot of the people, and I'm seeing some good messaging come from folks that have a bit of a platform that are, you know, sort of ringing that bell that we need to get behind that. So let's hope that sticks for how many, wherever, when, till November, when mm-hmm. we can see if we can oust one-term
Tina.
Anybody but Tina.
Well, we need to remember all of the things, all the taxes and all of the, you know, woke agenda and all of the other things that Tina's been a part of. We need to remember that. That's our job for the next, 6 months, to remind them and remember those things?
We'll be those people, Hunter. We'll keep reminding people.
There you go.
Don't forget. Because
That is legitimately the role of AM radio. And that's why they wanted to take AM radio out of the cars. But it's a counterweight to all of the propaganda that gets spewed on the evening news. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is vital that people have this as a resource to hear other sources of information that are otherwise not being propagated.
Yeah. Well, I'm always surprised when I have, you know, in-person, real-life conversations with people, not online, how most of them are just really not paying attention, or the news sources that they've always relied on are really keeping a lot of that that they're like, you know, we talked about with the illegal alien crimes. I mean, people aren't hearing about that. They're just not hearing about it. And once you do have that conversation and let them know, if they're not like in such a protective where their ideology is their personality, and so, you know, even giving them facts is basically like you're attacking them. Those are individuals that you really can't have that conversation, but most people you can.
That's true. And I still believe most Americans are like that. But the loud minority still kind of rules what you're seeing online and what you're seeing in the news.
Yeah. Well, one of the other things we've been talking about with you, too, is all the redistricting that was going on. And of course, there was the SCOTUS ruling. And we talked about your colleague who from Virginia, who's now looking at Florida because of, you know, they tried to do that in Virginia. And the woman who, what's her name, Spanberger, I'm a moderate. Sure, I'm a moderate until the day she was elected.
Lie. Yeah, that was an absolute lie. I mean, she was a CIA agent. Do you expect honesty from her?
No. Well, one of your other colleagues, Hayden Ludwig, was recently on a podcast stating that SCOTUS just gave us gave us the path to a permanent MAGA majority. And so I'm like, let's dig a little deeper into that.
Yeah. So this is in the wake of the Louisiana Supreme Court ruling where they were forced to draw a second congressional district based on racial demographics. This was several different iterations of the civil rights movement in the 60s. Courts ruled that states were required to give more representation to minorities. And so they had to create these congressional districts that were majority minority. Yeah. So a majority of blacks or a majority of Hispanics or you know, take your pick. And the recent Supreme Court ruling noted that was now unconstitutional. It always has been, and it finally decided that. And so now you're seeing a rapid redraw of several different states. Florida went through this and did it in like 12 hours after the Supreme Court ruling.
Gotta love Florida.
we now have four districts out of like 28 that are likely lean blue. The rest of them are strong red districts. So it went from like 8 to 4. It's a net 4 pickup for red leaning candidates. I don't want to say Republican or Democrat, just because, you know, you never know how the election is going to go.
Right.
But you're seeing this all across, particularly the South. Louisiana is writing out that extra blue district. And really what we called this at Restoration News was it was affirmative action for Democrats. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, artificially creating more representation for Democrats in the United States Congress. And so this affects both Congress and the Electoral College, by the way. The Electoral College will be permanently changed by this as well. As you see more red states redraw their congressional districts to be more representative of the actual voters that live in the actual places, then they're going to naturally be more right-leaning in their electoral results. And so you could see a net pickup of up to by the time we do the 2028 election and then the 2030 census, when we recount everything at that time, you could see a pickup of 30 seats for the Republican Party. And that would be an insurmountable advantage for the Republican Party. The Democrats would never be able to overcome that unless there was a massive wave of something, you know, way bigger than what we're looking at now. Because remember, right now, we have a GOP advantage in the House of like 6 seats or 4 seats or whatever it is. It's a very tightly divided House of Representatives. So you pick up 30 extra safe seats for Republicans. That also means that I think I saw if those results were available in the 2024 presidential election, the Electoral College would have been, instead of Trump getting 306 electoral votes, he would have gotten like 330 or something like that. So it would have been a much bigger margin in the Electoral College for the Republican candidate for president. So this ruling proves, by the way, the illegitimacy of all of these districts that were written specifically to give Democrats more power. And once it was ruled unconstitutional, the Democrats had a bunch of their power undermined.
Yeah, a lot of seats gone. Go ahead.
Well, you totally knew it wasn't about race. The moment the ruling came down, and all of a sudden they're looking at old white Democrats losing their seats to conservative black men, you sit there and go, wait a second, I thought this was about race.
Yeah, that is specifically in Tennessee that happened. I forget the guy's name, but he was an old white liberal, first elected in 2008, represents a majority black district. And, as a white guy, he tried to actually join the Congressional Black Caucus several years ago. And they're like, well, thanks, but no thanks.
So it's going to be interesting if, I don't know if anything's going to change in Oregon. And I know the Democrats have been all like, oh, well, SCOTUS ruled, so I guess we're all okay with that. that didn't happen. Of course, we know that's not happening. But that would change the landscape because you want to talk gerrymandering in Oregon. You just look at the 5th Congressional District in Oregon that is squeezed so tight to get Bend in there. We got to get Bend in there.
Yeah, Bend and Portland have a lot in common. That's why they're in the same district.
Oh, my gosh. No, I mean,
the point being, though, that the states have every right to draw their congressional districts however they want to. Being forced by the federal government to take into consideration things that they don't want to consider in their district, Oregon can gerrymander all it wants. I love that Democratic super lawyer Mark Elias was out there saying, well, all the blue states need to gerrymander to counter what the Republican Party is doing. Too late. It's already gerrymander.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know if you could take that sixth seat away from the Republicans in the state of Oregon without doing some really, really crazy thing, considering they've got five of the six and on a bad year, 40% vote conservative in this state.
Yeah.
Well, it's looking likely that Oregon's losing that sixth congressional seat anyway in the next census because so many people are leaving because of one party rule. Exactly. So that'll be another net pickup for Florida. So, yay me.
All right, let's go ahead and take our last break. We're talking with Jeff Reynolds. He's senior editor at Restoration News. And you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
All right. So just switching gears on this, because I saw this story and back in the day when Mayor Bennett, who's a dear friend, Salem Mayor Bennett, would I go back and forth about public art. Okay. I'm not a fan. not a lot of it is great. We would always go about the Bash Chrome Cube. I don't know what corner it's on now. Mm-hmm. But I love art. I'm the daughter of a fine artist and an author. I dabble in a lot of stuff myself. But this is ridiculous, especially when everyone is feeling the squeeze and all you hear is, especially in Oregon, from Trump this and tariffs that, and everybody is struggling. Well, Portland and all its brain trust decided to raise the arts tax to $50, and it sets a new income threshold. And I literally laughed out loud. Because I can do basic math. I can, contrary to what the mustache may think.
I just sit here and I go, my challenge with public art is it is literally at the whim of whoever decides. And so who is the artist? What is, what's all about? What's the purpose of it? It's just something just put out there. It's like if people really care and there's reasons for these arts, they will find ways to fund it. There's crowdfunding. Exactly. There's these things. And all it takes is the city then saying, we'll put your art up because you've got people that want that art.
We'll do this nice. Here are the details on it, though, real quick, though, just so everybody's aware. So this is a newly approved ordinance that will, it'll only impose the tax on people making at least $20,000 a year. And it will go now from $35 to $50. And it's, I know, and it's $100 for joint filing. $20,000 a year. Basically, everybody.
Well, I say here and go, basic math. You take that $20,000 and you divide that by the $15. I think in Portland proper, it's higher than that for minimum wage.
I think so too.
So you're talking a minimum wage worker making $15 an hour. If they work more than 25 hours a week, they will qualify to pay this tax.
Yep. Yeah, I bet they're thrilled about that.
It's ridiculous. And, you know, I remember when the arts tax was first passed.
Yeah, me too.
Gosh, almost 15 years ago at this point. And it's always been illegal. It's always been unconstitutional. It amounts to nothing more than a poll tax. Mm-hmm. And as you point out, you know, why are we publicly funding art? I get it. It's the hippie ideal of, you know, we should be funding art, not bombs and all that stuff. I get it. but I mean, come on, you know, what kind of art, you know, I mean, well, look who we elect and then they're right. determining what art is. So that's a little frightening. But, you know, I know several artists actually who are the private patron of the arts is still a thing. And that's how these people make their money, is by finding private patrons who are going to subsidize what they do. That's been happening since the Renaissance, and it hasn't gone away.
And you think of what is beauty. I remember, was it Roger I can't remember his last name. Scruton? Just talking about Scruton. About beauty and how you look at, you know, where we're awash in brutalist architecture, which I loathe, in bashed chrome cubes and weird abstract, you know, pieces of metal sticking out of the ground that you're supposed to go, well, that's art. Ooh.
Or the banana on the wall.
Or somebody that dropped a pair of sunglasses on the floor and everyone's like, what's he trying to say? It's like he dropped his glasses. So you're right. It's like, who's determining what is art?
Yeah, well, and that's the problem, is you're putting this money into a big pot to be told what art is. What's another big controversy happening in Portland right now? What used to be 39th is now Cesar Chavez, and they have to rename that because of, you know, what's come out about Cesar Chavez's past. So is that something that the art tax could help? Because gosh darn it, we don't want to look at Cesar Chavez's name on that road anymore. We need a different name. So maybe they just use that to replace the signs as an art addition.
Well, and that really boils it down to its essence, Hunter. It's the Democrats and leftists and socialists, all they ever want is more money for slush funds for, you know, and raising the baseline of whatever the budget is. You know, every year, all they really fight for is a yearly increase in the budget every year so that they have more money to blow on whatever they want to blow it on. It has nothing to do with values or, you know, reflection of who we are as a society, right, or any of that high-minded crap that they try to sell you on. It's all about just getting more money out of the taxpayer, soaking the taxpayer, and having this pot of money to spend on whatever they want to spend it on.
And meanwhile, life is coarser. Civil society is coarser. Things are uglier. It's like this this destruction of the things that are beautiful. One of my leftovers from this week too is, you know, a lot of people are noticing where all the color went. Where did the color go? Hunter, you and I were talking about McDonald's. Mm-hmm. When we were a kid, it was like, it was for kids. You had your little seats were like hamburgers and it was all bright colors. I actually watched a video the other day from a designer that I love, Nick something, but he was talking about people are kind of backlashing against agreeable gray and white, where everything is very sterile and it's very minimalist. And all of a sudden you're seeing a resurgence of people wanting to see more Ralph Lauren, where you've got rich jewel tones and colors and leather and plaids. And it's this lush and it's cozy. And I think you're seeing a backlash on that. And so, you know, something like this, if that was being taken from my paycheck to pay for ugly, brutalist art that makes life coarser, I'd have a real problem with this. And I think people are tired of the sterility and the coarseness of culture.
You know, Denise, you actually hit on a point there. It sure seems like there's a correlation. The more government and the more we soak the taxpayer, the coarser our society gets. You know, we're having resources stolen from us to yep. be used on things that we don't want.
Right.
Instead of voluntarily giving to the things that we do want.
Yeah. Well, you talked about private patron of the arts. Again, my dad was an artist, and his art was purchased by private parties, and mm-hmm. it was gifted to museums, and you know, he was also an author, and so you have individuals, and then
well, that's the problem is that yeah. you know he only gave it to certain people who had money, you know, he didn't give it to the public.
Well, I kind of enjoyed eating, so you know, I was the proverbial starving artist a lot. So, but you just see that sort of all over in culture. I mean, I think I've talked about I'm having to fly here in a couple of weeks. I'm totally dreading it. Maybe I should stop watching viral videos on bad actors, but even that, and just in how people behave and interact with each other has gotten coarser.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of shopping at Walmart, but flying has become the Walmart of travel, you know, it's just people in pajamas and flip flops and acting a fool and, you know, the worst of human behavior. It's not fun.
No, it isn't fun.
It used to be elegant. It's not anymore.
Right. I remember when I first flew, I think it was like 1978, and it was a grand adventure. And you mm-hmm. actually had silverware and decent food. And I think there were two levels on this plane because we were flying cross country and it was fun. And there was like a piano yeah. bar in there, I think. It was like, whoa.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Real quick, we're almost out of time, but I did want to talk about this one too, because as far as culture and things getting worse, Star Wars, got to talk about it. Because I remember back in the day when a Star Wars movie hit, it was an event. Mm-hmm. Well, whatever this Magnolia and Goblin or Mandalorian and Grogu, and everyone went, yeah, yawn. Nobody cares.
Yeah, no, and that was the Mandalorian series on Disney Plus was it saved the franchise. It was so well done.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, I think, you know, both seasons were great. I really enjoyed the entire series. But what they did to this movie, an extended holiday weekend opening, yeah. and it barely made back its production budget, never mind, you know, the promotion budget and all that. So it is unlikely to turn a profit. And this was a great storyline that yep. once again they've gone ahead and ruined because they don't know how to make a good movie anymore.
They don't, and they ruined the little, well, it's not really Yoda, but the what is it? I don't even know what the creature is. What's the species here? Oh, yeah. What's the species?
It's little Yoda.
Yeah, baby.
And that's
Yoda.
Not even cute. I mean, they probably put fart jokes in it like they did with the stupid Animal Farm movie. I don't know. It's starting to annoy me. They're just wrecking everything.
Well, I haven't seen it, but from my understanding, Grogu was kind of just a bit character within this movie. And then the thought process is this really you know, a movie, or is this just like a long TV episode that we just watched two seasons of?
Right. Yeah. And that was kind of the same criticism of the Star Trek Next Generation yeah. movies, was that they felt like TV shows. And this probably comes off the same way, but I think it's indicative of a larger problem in Hollywood. They don't know how to tell stories anymore.
No, they really don't.
It's all about characters and
the
explosions.
Message.
And yeah, well, that too. Yeah, putting the message in or the narrative, but.
Well, again, great conversation, Jeff. We're out of time, unfortunately. Probably twice a month is not enough. But again, our guest today has been Jeff Reynolds with ReservationNews.com. Go see a movie. Go see a good movie. Project Hail Mary, and we will see all of you guys next week.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.